Who doesn't like to talk about real estate? Like for me, and I've had, I'd say, one horrible experience, one great experience, and one TBD. I haven't done a lot of buying and selling in my life, but it's people's biggest single asset, and it's a big deal. And you like to know what your home is worth or what you could get, or blah blah blah. And it's a great way to build equity as a young adult. And so we talk a lot on the show about Sandy Terenzi and the Livian team at Keller Williams Legacy Partners, and we have Sandy and Mike Price in studio this morning. First of all, good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thanks for asking.
We got to make sure we got all the mics, the proper mics on here in studio. So I don't know who wants to take it first. I saw this morning, what is the running rate for 30 years for you guys right now?
It's just under 5, right, Mike?
Yeah, well, it
no.
No, not under 5. No.
Oh, so, I mean under 6. I'm
yes,
sorry.
Correct.
You're sub 6 now.
So the Fed big cut about 2 weeks back here. Now remember, they don't go hand in hand. So because the Fed cuts rates does not mean it's a direct correlation to interest rates dropping, but the long-term effect, we will start to see those come down. So but we have seen them now drop into the high 5s, 5.7, 5.8. We're seeing some pretty strong loans, and then we're going to start to see this likely come down over the next several months with it.
So what rate do you think is the sweet spot to get people to – because, right, listen, let's face it. I got 2.97.
Yeah. Why would you give it up?
So what's going to make people consider that?
Yeah, at some point, you know, the forecast going into 2025, we should see sub-5s, mid-5s.
And really?
We likely won't see it go past that point. So at some point, we have to understand, hey, we got to move. These are the rates. This is what we're going to have right now. There's some things you can do with buying points down to potentially get that down into the mid-4s.
Or do the ARM or something like
that. Yeah, but, you know, at some point, these are going to be a rate going forward. So
is that enough to unstick the market?
I think if we get into the low fives, we're
going to see
more.
We're starting to see it a little bit. You know, this year, February, we saw the all-time low in Connecticut for inventory, and this was a proceeding year-after-year effect, and this has finally been the first summer to now fall that we're starting to see inventory tick up from year to year. So we may have hit our all-time low, and we're might starting to see light at the end of the tunnel where we're starting to get more inventory.
And it's sitting on the market longer.
Yeah.
What is that? Because there are a couple things. So you think we've hit bottom in inventory?
I think we have.
Okay. Yeah. That's significant. Number two, I was thinking about that because I focus a lot on Cape Cod because our family has a small property there. And I've seen more price cuts in the last 2 months than I saw in the previous 3 years.
Mike and I were just doing a market evaluation, and we were looking, and there was like probably one quarter to one third had price drops.
But to me, maybe it's indicative of the buyers aren't as blindly jumping into anything, and maybe the quality of what's on. Like, the question is why? And is the why because the quality of what's out there isn't as good?
That's one of the reasons, I think.
Well, what else is possible?
We don't have – so the quality is still there. Buyers are still just as eager. We're still seeing a great amount of aggression when it comes to these buyers. The problem is we still have a very limited inventory overall. Even though we're starting to increase slightly, the numbers are still so dramatically down from years past that it may just feel this way. So it may feel that a property only pops up in your criteria once every month, once every quarter, whatever it might be, because we are just so depleted overall from the years.
I think another thing, I'm sorry,
yeah, no,
Ryan, but I think another reason is a lot of the sellers are saying, oh, I'll just put my house on the market. I'll let it go looking like this. And the quality of the properties that are on the market, they're not staged. They're not doing the proper things that they need to do to get that maximum price point. So they're just putting them on the market instead of doing all the quality things that we were doing prior to this craziness.
Right. One thing you guys are consistent about doing is really giving a market analysis and trying to come out there with a fair price to start. I mean, probably some of these were like silly bids trying to draw in a sucker, right? I mean, you can misprice things even in a hot market.
And I think some towns are still going over asking, like West Hartford, probably every house that goes on the market's about 100K over asking.
Well, I want to get into that. We're going to take a quick pause. I want to talk about what markets and what price points are in the most demand right now. We're with Mike Price and, of course, Sandy Terenzi from Sandy and the Livian team at Keller Williams Legacy Partners. I mean, if you want to get a quick question in, you can try to give Matt a call or shoot me an email, but we usually have so much to talk about. Sandy Terenzi, Mike Price here with us in studio talking real estate. And we talked off mic about this, and either one of you can take it. The assumption always is that inventory is you know, when it comes back up, prices will moderate. And there's a two-tier question. One is, are we not going to really know the impact of rates moderating until the spring season when people start to bring a ton of stuff to market? Because right now it's the slow season, number one. Number two, is it an assumption that once inventory pops back up, that prices will moderate?
We're going to see a plateau on the prices, and I think we're trending towards that.
But I tell you, though, one thing you got to be careful of is the short-term effect of interest rates dropping will allow buyer affordability to increase. So it's not as simple of, hey, let's increase our inventory by 5 to 10% and watch prices come down with it, because if in fact the reasoning that inventory is popping up more is because of lower rates – buyers will be coming out more in waves. We're already seeing buyers coming out waiting for these interest rates to drop. We're here. We're dropping. We're there. So buyers are coming out more. We're starting to see prices continue to hold because now, hey, my 5% rate now, 5.25%, I can buy a little bit more. I can afford more. So now that house that wasn't in my range, I can now get into. So we're still seeing prices hold for the moment.
Will we not know until the spring if we're back?
I think it all depends, too, because it's an election year.
Yeah.
What does that factor in?
So we always see a stall in the marketplace. It's been
because people
way.
Are freaking out that the world's going to end.
Yeah.
They're not. They're like, okay, I'm going to wait until see what happens. Maybe the interest rates will go down further, or maybe the prices will crash or whatever. You know, there'll be a
human
market
behavior
crash.
Is so interesting. Yeah. That is really fascinating to me that you see a slowdown. And in this election, probably people are going to be sitting on their hands for a little while. I mean, it's definitely as stressful as it's been. When it comes to the market in Connecticut, you talked about West Hartford is still in such demand that people are getting big numbers even over list price. I'm curious, like there's entry-level homes, sort of like the second home, and then there's luxury homes. What's the strongest? What's the weakest?
You know, it all depends on what town you're in. When, for example, Bristol was an entry home at $150,000. That $150,000 home's probably now $300,000.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, West Hartford, I don't even know if there's any entry-level homes in West Hartford at this point.
It is very aggressive. But again, I would say, you know, your secondary houses, these are the 450 to 600 range. They're few and far. They're picked clean. And the issue that a lot of buyers face is that we have a lot of money pouring into these offers. You're coming down with 20%, 30%. They're bringing, a couple hundred grand down.
Right.
And they're just simply outbidding other buyers that are trying to get in here that have limited funds to try to get into that secondary house for them.
What about like the high-end market? Is
very healthy.
Really?
Very healthy. So when those houses, like say for in Devonwood, where we couldn't give them away, they were worth $1.5 million, and we'd have to bring them down to $800,000 or $900,000, and they'd still sit on the market. So right now, that is a very healthy market.
Yeah, I'm telling you, if you bought in Connecticut in 2018 and 2017, you did some brilliant work.
Yeah.
I'm curious. We're talking with Mike Price and Sandy Terenzi. Sandy and the Livian team at Keller Williams Legacy Partners. Again, we talk with them and about them quite a bit in terms of real estate. You never can see a recession in general necessarily, but do you foresee, like it'll happen, I guess, but say the average, what do you think the average price increase? You talked about 150 to 300. I don't know. What's been the average uptick in Connecticut in the last 5 years? Is it 40%? What is it?
So year-over-year trends, we've seen anywhere from about 12 to 17%.
So what is that on a five-year?
You're talking 60, 70%
sometimes. So that much. It's been up that much. So do you anticipate some sort of double-digit pullback? And if so, like when and by how much?
I don't think you're talking about a market correction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to see a market correction. And this is the biggest factor. And Mike, you can, chime in. But what I have experienced or what I'm seeing is that Connecticut did not appreciate since 2005.
Which is crazy. It's so beautiful here. Like, it's incredible to me.
We did not appreciate. We depreciated. So we saw all-time highs in 2005. And up until 2019, we saw a steady decline or plateau in the entire state of Connecticut. And then when COVID hit, we had a lot of people from out of Connecticut, out of state, New York, Massachusetts, Texas, California. They would buy here in Connecticut. They would sell their homes because they could work remotely now. They wanted to get out of those cities or whatever, even Massachusetts.
Yep, sure.
And that helped increase our prices. So the prices that we're seeing today really would have been the true values if we had the correct appreciation over those last 15
years. So your point is it's sort of we're now right
where we
sized.
Should be.
Yep.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, a lot of people have a natural skepticism for engaging with realtors. I mean, it's not like mattresses and cars, but, you know, people, they're always worried about getting played and paying too much in commissions. And I don't know really anything how to parse away this thing with the National Association of Realtors. My understanding was if you're selling a house, you got to pay somebody. And if you're buying a house, you don't have to pay anybody.
So that is incorrect. So what happened is back in the 90s. So first of all, this has been 116 years, 117 years of tradition of hiring a realtor to sell your property. That hasn't changed. What has changed is other parts of the country did not disclose to the sellers where their money was going. But in Connecticut, we have it right, and it's always been in our contracts that this is what you're paying. This is what we're going to co-broke should another agent bring a party to this sale. And so we always gave full disclosure in Connecticut, but other parts of the country did not. So
what does it matter?
What does it matter? So sellers were saying they didn't have clarity about who they were paying. And when they found out that they were paying buyer's agents, they felt that they were not being represented correctly. Now, here's my take on all of this is buyer's agents today, especially now, cannot enter a home without a buyer broker contract with an agent. Okay, so if you have an agent to show you a property, they need to sign a contract with you.
You can't just say, you can't just say, we'll take care of that later or don't worry about it. You actually have to be in a contractually binding situation.
So we're giving what it's all about is giving more clarity about where the seller's money is going, where the buyer's money is going. And we always had that, in my opinion, we've always had that in Connecticut because it clearly is stated on our contracts.
So then it's not such a big deal. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. And let's boil it down to what we're seeing today because the change was incorporated August 18th. So anything from here in the future, these new NAR settlement laws are now incorporated. What we're seeing is that
National
sellers,
Association
correct,
of Realtors.
Yes, correct, yes. Correct. Yeah. So sellers are still very willing to want to bring in and co-broke a typical 2.5% because they want to bring in the most amount of buyers possible to their property.
Right.
It's still the same exact game. The more buyers, the more looks and eyes on your property, the more offers, the higher your price goes.
Sure.
So we want to make sure as sellers that we're not limited any buyers that may not be able to come into your property. So we're willing to bring these percents in because that ultimately will yield you a higher net. That's what we're considering in the end. And still, that's today's game. It's the same thing it was 20 years ago, 100 years ago.
Huh. I don't understand all of it, but the consumer just gets more information. But you said the information's already been
In Connecticut, we've had clarity.
And you have to make a point. There are agents out here that are doing an overwhelming amount of business that are bringing you the value on the buying side and bringing you the value on the selling side. So you have to make sure you're interviewing and hiring the right team, the right agent for your biggest purchase that you're typically going to do in your life.
Real quick, anything we didn't hit on before we go that you want to talk about?
I think we did. We did a lot of stuff.
Go ahead. You have anything?
No, I was going to say. I mean, you know, we're in a, you know, I want to say one of the an unprecedented time right now because this is the first that we are starting to see. Hey, is inventory starting to creep up a little bit with rates coming down? This is one of the first times that we're not have full clarity of what the next several quarters will look like because we're starting to get to that higher inventory levels where what will happen now with pricing that we're seeing across the country with these rate decreases year to year.
I can't wait to see what happens. It's fascinating stuff. Sandy, Mike, as always, it's great to see you. Glad
Thank
you guys
you.
Are well. And it's great to get the info to our audience.